Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the National STD Prevention Conference this year. I'm going to be speaking about the prevalence of herpes simplex virus type 2, or HSV2, in relation to bacterial vaginosis status among sexually active women in the United States. As you probably know, BV is a common genital tract infection in the United States. It's characterized by changes in vaginal flora. The normally predominant lactobacilli are reduced or absent, and the normally infrequent anaerobes and genital mycoplasmas overgrow and predominate the vaginal flora. BV is associated with an increased risk of sexually transmitted infection acquisition, including HSV2, among sex workers in a study in Kenya and in clinic-based populations. Herpes simplex virus, HSV2, is also a common genital tract infection. It's characterized by an initial acute infection of painful blisters and chronic recurrences, or by no recognized symptoms at all. HSV2 is associated with an increased risk of HIV infection. Our objective was to describe the prevalence of HSV2 in relation to BV status among sexually active women aged 20 to 49 years in the United States. We used data from NHANES, the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, from 2001 through 2004 for sexually active women aged 20 to 49. NHANES uses a cluster survey methodology to represent the civilian non-institutionalized population of the United States. So these are weighted prevalences. I'm not going to be presenting any actual numbers. Mexican Americans were oversampled to get estimates for them. And prevalence estimates were generated using Sudan, using the complex survey design incorporating the NCH-generated weights. I'll be presenting estimates for non-Hispanic blacks, non-Hispanic whites, and Mexican Americans. For BV lab methods, the women used a self-collected vaginal swab to determine pH and to prepare a slide. The slides were air-dried, gram-stained, and read using Nugent's criteria. And the slides were scored on the basis of lactobacilli and gram-negative and anaerobic bacteria quantity. A score of 0 to 3 is defined as negative or normal, 4 to 6 as intermediate, and 7 to 10 as positive. And the 7 to 10 score is defined as BV. For HSV2, serum samples were collected for all persons 14 to 49 in the survey, and a type-specific immunodot assay was used, which targeted the glycoproteins GG1 and GG2 as antigens. These same assays were used, and the same laboratory have been using these assays since NHANES 2 in 1976. So this is our first results slide. You can see the prevalence of BV is pretty much stable over each of the three age groups, 20 to 29, 30 to 39, and 40 to 49, between 25 and 30%. The prevalence of HSV2 goes up with age, which is lower in the 20 to 29-year-old age group, and then increases to the 40 to 49-year-old age group to between about 33%. Overall prevalence of BV is 30%, and overall prevalence of HSV2 is 27%. So our question was, does this overlap? And in the presence of BV, the prevalence of HSV2 is 37.2%, but without BV, it's 22.6%. And this is a significant prevalence ratio of 1.6. When we stratify this by age, women with BV, regardless of age group, still have a higher prevalence of HSV2. So in the 20 to 29-year-old aged women, if you have BV, the prevalence of HSV2 is 25.6% as opposed to 14.4% without BV. And that the ratio was between 1.5 and 1.8 for all age groups. These were all significant. If we stratify by race ethnicity, we get a similar picture, except for among Mexican Americans. In the presence of BV, the HSV2 prevalence is higher, 29.1% among non-Hispanic whites versus 18.7%. Among non-Hispanic blacks, 65.6% versus 52.9%. Among Mexican Americans, the HSV2 prevalence is lower, and there is not a big difference if a woman has BV or not. When we stratify by lifetime sex partners, the ratio is still increased in the presence of BV among women with 1 to 4 sex partners. Without BV is 13.2, and with BV is 20.1. Among older women, among women with more than 10 sex partners, with no BV, HSV2 prevalence is 39.1, and with BV, it's 58.4%. And these two lower prevalence ratios are significant. We know that race, ethnicity, age, and lifetime sex partners are risk factors for HSV. BV was associated with an increased prevalence of HSV2 after adjusting for these known risk factors, with an odds ratio of 1.57 and a significant confidence interval. When we look at HSV2 prevalence by Nugent score, which is the scoring system I explained earlier, if you have normal flora, the prevalence of HSV2 is 23.5. Intermediate flora, it's 22%. But if you have BV, it's 37.2%. So there did not seem to be an increasing gradient of HSV2 prevalence as the Nugent score got higher. And these relationships didn't really change much if you stratified by age or race, ethnicity. So we were sort of looking for a dose response, and there didn't seem to be one. When we look at symptoms, among women with BV, the proportion with vaginal symptoms was not associated with HSV2 positivity. And we know that among women in this sample in NHANES, symptoms were not related to BV status either. So if you look at a general non-clinic population, symptoms don't seem to be related either to HSV2 or to BV. So in conclusion, BV and HSV2 commonly coexist among sexually active women. HSV2 seroprevalence is higher among women with BV than among women without BV. We're unable to describe any kind of temporal relationship because NHANES is a cross-sectional study, so we can't tell which came first. BV is associated with an increased risk of HSV2 after adjusting for race, ethnicity, age, and lifetime sex partners. So we know that BV has been found to increase the risk of acquiring HSV2 among sex workers in Kenya and clinic patients in Pittsburgh in longitudinal studies. And in one study, HSV2 was found to be associated with BV acquisition, which is a longitudinal study following women who had HSV2. So BV may play a role in the disparities of HSV2 prevalence. But our thought is that the causes for this relationship between the prevalence of BV and the prevalence of HSV2 needs some more study. What is the etiologies of this, we're not quite sure of. So I'd like to thank the NHANES participants and staff for making these data possible. Thank you, and welcome for any questions.
Thanks very much, Emily. This presentation is open to questions. Can I start off by asking one about the smears that were taken? You say that they were self-collected vaginal swabs. Where were the smears made? Who made the smears, and how long after the examination?
The NHANES van staff, where the study participants did their whole NHANES interview, they made the smear, so they rolled the swab onto a slide. The slides were then sent to a lab in Pittsburgh, where they were stained and read.
I was wondering if there was some delay in the possibility of that intermediate group being abnormal for
reason. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, I do, and we do have a section of the application. And we were this morning, we were creating the HSV, which I mean, doesn't prevent the vision of the possible that BD, meaning was able to be responsible for just the
It's hard to know. I mean, that there are a lot of sort of second guessing about that trial. That might be one of the possibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very well done study, so it's a real head scratcher. Yes. I think the mechanism for HIV, for BV, is different for genital ulcer disease. In genital ulcer disease, generally there's an opening in the skin, and that's how HIV is presumed to get in. And there's more, there's immune function cells that are open to the reception of HIV. With BV, there's actually no openings. There are no scratches or irritation in the vaginal wall. Instead, what is thought is that the lactobacilli that are gone are presumably available for killing off viruses when they're there, and when they're not there, viruses hang around longer. That's been shown in vitro, that lactobacilli kill viruses. So it may be that BV, in the presence of BV, there's not the lactobacilli around to do the good work that they do. And that may apply to HSV as well as HIV. But that's hypothesis. I'm not sure if anybody's really shown that. Yes? But BV does that a lot, right? We don't know from this data. No, unfortunately not. We didn't actually look for yeast. We had a different test for trichomoniasis that was done with a separate swab that was done using PCR. And I haven't looked at BV and trich together. Somebody else in my group is looking at that. Right, looking at all of them together. Yeah, my guess is that a lot of them travel together. So, yeah.
Any more questions?
Unclear. No. The prevalence of BV is lower among Mexican American women, as well as the prevalence of HSV2, but not clear why that is. No.